No, not true. You run into somebody? I know what the Bible says, but God and I have an understanding. You know what? That belief is going to get you in big trouble. If you are in Hebrews chapter 11 and you're familiar with God's word, you know that this is the faith chapter of the Bible. And I want to take you on a journey this morning that will make you consider what you believe. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have our own copy of the Word of God. We thank you that it makes sense to us, and we're able to study it through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would use this uneducated preacher to try to convey some truth that makes sense to me, and I hope it would make sense to the hearer as we consider what we believe and how we live out that belief. Bless this time, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. I'm going to share with you some foundational truths this morning that all Christians should know. For some, this will be nothing new, but for others that have not lived in a Christian environment, like much of society today, they would find this information to be either revelationary or revolutionary. Revelationary would be causing a sort of truth not previously known. Revolutionary would be causing great change. The last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. But I submit to you, to the unbeliever, the entire Bible is a revelation that will cause great change if believed and obeyed. Nothing I say this morning will matter if you are not willing to believe. We've said in the past, in this pulpit, that faith is the currency of the Christian. In other words, if you have to be willing to invest your faith in what you believe. Everyone has faith. Lost or saved, we all have faith. It is what we invest our faith in that makes the difference. In our text this morning that we just read, the word by faith happens over and over, 16 times in Hebrews chapter 11, in just that one chapter, by faith. Faith and belief are synonyms. I can't talk this morning. Synonyms. In other words, they're two words that mean the same thing. Faith and belief. Look with me, if you will, if you can see what individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 did. If you have your Bible in front of you this morning, if you're using a pew Bible, we are on page 1301, by faith, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch had such a close walk with God. We'll be talking about relationships. But Enoch had such a wonderful relationship with the Lord. The Lord looked at him one day and said, you know what, Enoch? I want you in heaven with me, and I'm not even going to require you to die to do that. God just took him. They looked around for Enoch, and they couldn't find him. Good news. Someday that could happen to you and I. It's called the rapture. They'll be looking around for us, and they can't find us. God's going to take us. That could be today. How great is that? By faith, Enoch. And then, without faith, obviously, the warning is it's impossible to please the Lord. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 9, by faith, Abraham sojourned in a land. And it talked about some of the process that he went to. Jump over to verse 17, by faith, Abraham again. He offered up his only begotten son. Only begotten son reminds me of John 3:16. I was, a little side note here, up Living Waters. I said, let's all quote John 3:16 together. And I quoted it wrong, you would think. So afterwards, my wife says to me, quote John 3:16 for me, would you? I hadn't even caught that I said it wrong. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I forgot that he gave his, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him is how I quoted it. And so I forgot his only begotten son. So Emily says, well, I guess you got the condensed version then. So, but anyway, Abraham offered up his only begotten son. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten son. And so obviously that phrase is compared to Abraham and obviously to God Almighty in Jesus Christ. By faith, Isaac in verse 20. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. By faith, verse 23, by faith, Moses. And also in verse 24. And then he talks about him, by faith he forsook Egypt in verse 27. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. That was the entire nation of Israel exercising faith. I got an idea it would be an exercise of faith as you walk into the Red Sea and walls of water on both sides of you when you're walking through that. Hello, cousin. The army of Egypt is behind you. Obviously, the Red Sea and the Promised Land is ahead of you. But that would be somewhat scary. I think that would be an act of faith, of walking through there. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, in verse 30. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not when she helped the others. And then in verse 32, it talks about a list of others, Gideon and Samson and Barak and Jephthah. And all of the individuals that exercised faith. And so I'd like to say just this morning, by faith, Mark Arnold pastors this church. By faith, Al Griffin helps lead the singing, although he did not this morning. By faith, Emily Levitt Griffin has to live with Stan Griffin. You know, those things. Every one of us, hopefully, the Lord would look at us and say, by faith, so-and-so, and put our name in there, because I'm telling you, living this life for the glory of God is an act of faith. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So here we are this morning, and we are considering faith and how we react to it and with it. Revelationary and revolutionary. Everything we do in regards to moving forward with the Lord is by faith. Faith and belief are synonyms. So let me share with you a philosophy that I have developed, and I hope it will make sense to you. And I said to my wife this morning, I said, I hope this works, because I've really struggled with this message, because I think it is very important that we understand this principle that I'm sharing with you this morning. And if you get this, and if you can work with it, then it will help the world and your life make more sense. I believe that we all act with three different areas called the FBI. You can remember the FBI. But the FBI stands for facts, belief, and interpretation. Now, the center of that is belief. You and I sit here this morning with certain ingrained ideas of how we look at life. Peter Mead and I have, since the start of this church practically, have gone back and forth on Chevrolets and Fords. You know, and his dad worked for General Motors. It is ingrained. It's in his blood. Thank God for General Motors. It helped put food on his table as a kid, you know. Sad to say, at this fallen state in my life, I own more Chevrolets now than I do Fords. See? So, obviously, he's big on that. I am ingrained for a different brand, but we have an outlook on vehicles that is different. And so basically when he walks into a car lot, he has a belief in a certain way. And I walk into a car lot and my belief is I'm going to buy what I can afford. But the fact is we all have a belief. You buy a certain brand of bread. You use a certain kind of baking powder. You've got laundry soap in your washroom that's the brand you buy. Does this make sense? Isn't that true? So we believe in certain things. Those things are not foundational for us, but we walk, every one of us have beliefs in our life that determine the choices that we make, okay? So we have facts that we run into in certain things. Like, for instance, laundry soap. I'm getting sidetracked here a little bit, but it's important you understand this. Laundry soap, for instance, you may believe in a certain brand, but then all of a sudden you see the clothes aren't coming out clean, and you're starting to wonder what happened to your laundry soap. It always used to work, and then you check into it, and you find out that the manufacturer, the owner, has changed the formula a little bit to make it more environmentally friendly, but it won't clean the clothes. That happens. That happens. We came out with washing machines that don't hold any water. Well, now all of a sudden, now you can buy a washing machine and there's a button on it that says deep fill. Why? Because we found out that, you know what? You need water to clean clothes, you know? So all of those things, we came up with certain ideas and beliefs, but only to find out the facts changed our beliefs because our beliefs were incorrect on we thought you could get clothes clean with no water. You can't. It takes a certain amount. That changed our belief once we saw some of the facts. But on the other hand, if the facts and the belief continue to work together, it will only strengthen your belief. You follow me on this? Facts, belief, interpretation. So when it's all said and done, I got the facts, I got the belief, I believe this, show me the facts. The facts don't change my belief, or the facts can change my belief. And if the facts start to change your belief, you had better be honest with yourself. That's the problem. That's the rub. A lot of times what happens is the facts come into the equation and we believe a certain thing, but we won't let the facts change our mind. We know what we believe. Well, that's not what the facts say. No matter what the facts say. No, not true. You ever run into somebody? I know what the Bible says, but God and I have an understanding. You know what? That belief is going to get you in big trouble. So anyway, here we are. Facts, belief, interpretation. I'll apply it on this. It's election season. I don't know if you know it or not. There's a few signs out there, here and there, different names on them. There are two pretty much primary political parties in the state of Maine and in the country, the Democrats and the Republicans, the donkeys and the elephants, okay? And those people, those groups have opposing views. Those people of those two parties, of which are probably represented in this room, have a belief system that they believe if certain things take place, it will be for the better of the country. And obviously, those are totally different. If you were in a courtroom, for instance, you would have we have the prosecuting attorney and we have the defense attorney. It is required by law, and I'm not a lawyer, and if I'm saying this wrong, I apologize, but I believe it's required by law that everybody have all the information that is available, both sides. And so you've got to have the defense attorney over here, my client is innocent. The prosecuting attorney over here, this guy's dirty as sin, we're taking him down. We've got the same information, both sides, but they're looking at it drastically different. They can't both be right, but it's the foundational belief and the way they look at the information that changes the way they see the case. Does that make sense? So here we are now. We have God's word. We have, I believe this book to be factual. I take that book and it reinforces my belief. Others look at this book, say that is just a book of myths, made up stories. They have their belief and they try to undermine this book and throw it out. And quite frankly, they would rather it were gone altogether than have to deal with it. So here we are, and we have to decide, am I going to be intellectually honest about what I know, about what I believe? And I want you to know this. The Bible says, and I'm not afraid to say the Bible says, say that with me. The Bible says, as a Christian, This book right here is our foundation. If not for God's word, we would have nothing to stand on. The problem with America today is it wants to dismiss God's word and still stand for something. It can't be done. That is impossible. So we take God's word, it shapes our belief, and when we see that we are doing something contrary to God's word, then the building cannot stand because it does not fit the foundation. Our belief, our structure in our life has to conform to the foundational truth of God's word. The facts are in this book. The belief is I believe in God's word, and therefore I'm going to interpret what I believe through the lens of God's word. Are you with me? Have I lost you? You're okay. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
That's 70% of you. I've only lost 30% so far. We'll try to make sure that we got that. So here we are. Based on fact and belief, very quickly, there is an election process going on right now with two totally opposing sides. They are looking at things totally different. And somewhere along the line, you pray that the truth will come out. What irritates me about politics, and I'll move on here, is that, you know, if Ford puts out an ad that if you buy this vehicle, it'll get 100 miles to the gallon, and you buy it and it only gets 25 miles to the gallon, you can sue the daylights out of Ford. There has to be truth in advertising. In politics, it does not apply. You can say anything you want to get elected, and there is no accountability. That just yanks my chain. That drives me crazy. Well, I want you to know that what we say from God's word, you can take to the bank. It is guaranteed full refund if it is wrong. It cannot be wrong. And I just love knowing, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That applies everywhere, not just in Christianity. When you are living the truth, when you are pursuing truth, it is the freest, happiest life that you can possibly possess. And if you are practicing something that is not true, it will slowly bring you into bondage. The subtlety of Satan will creep in, and you will recognize your life becoming more and more miserable. And I submit to you, if that is taking place, you are not pursuing truth, you are pursuing a lie, and you are becoming enslaved in the process. It is not freeing, it is enslaving. Huge difference. So keep that in mind as you work out what it is that you believe, and you find out that it's not satisfying. So here we are. Faith is the currency of the Christian. Say that with me. Faith is the currency of the Christian. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So taking a copy of God's word, here's the deal. If I had the ability to, and I don't, I would come around and I'd give every one of you a $100 bill, okay? I'd just hand it to you, and then I would say, what are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to spend your money on? Well, I've got news for you this morning, Christian. God has handed every one of you a measure of faith. Every one of you has it. There is nobody that does not have faith. Everybody has faith. Lost or saved, everybody has faith. It's given to you and God created you. Now the question is, what are you going to invest that in? And obviously some people decide they're going to invest it in Buddha. Some people decide they're going to invest it in Hinduism. Some people decide they're going to invest it in Islam. And we could talk about those faiths. We don't have time to this morning, but I submit to you that for every faith that is out there, regardless of what it is, God Almighty gave us a relationship. Man gives us religion. Religion is man's effort to do good, 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 work, 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 try, 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 and by golly, I'm going to be so good so exemplary that people will look at me and say, is Stan Griffin going to heaven? Well, of course he is. He's such a good guy. But you know what? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you hang your hat on. If it's not with Jesus Christ, you have fallen short. You can't get there. You are investing your faith in the wrong place. No refunds. You lose. On the other hand, if you invest in Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a guarantee. Stan Griffin needs to do nothing. Jesus Christ has done everything. He gives himself to me. I don't have to work to try to get myself to heaven. God Almighty came down to me in the form of a baby at Christmas time. He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I needed salvation. I needed to be rescued. I needed to be saved from my sin. Only Jesus Christ offers the guarantee. Everybody else, Satan wants you to think, work, try. And you know what? There's something very seductive about religion. I've been in the services. Man, all the pomp and circumstance and the robes and the smoke and all the stuff they got going on there. And the choir's holy, holy, holy. And all the stuff going on. And you go in there, you feel so religious. It kind of, there's something special that people love religion. It happens all over the world. Everyone's practicing something. And in doing that effort, Satan comes along and says, doesn't this feel good? Isn't this good? Happy Days, remember the song, Feels So Right, Can't Be Wrong? You know? And so we get caught up in that feeling of Feels So Right, Can't Be Wrong. And Satan saying, oh man, this is good. This is so good. And he is dragging you along somewhere. And the more you try and the harder you work, the less assured that you are. You know that Muhammad himself confessed he was not sure that Allah would accept him into heaven. How's that work? Well, you know what? I may be a college dropout. My bank account is lower than it's ever been. I'm just the pastor of a country church that if you say, someone says, so where are you pastoring? Well, I'm in Exeter. Now, where is that? Nobody knows me, but you know what? God Almighty knows me. And Stan Griffin is going to heaven, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a guarantee. Do I deserve that? Not a chance. Not a chance. Do you deserve that? Not a chance. But God has given you the faith to believe. And you can take that faith that he's given you, and he gives you the choice to invest that in whatever you want to invest in. And so we invest it in happiness, satisfaction. We think if we have more, he who dies with the most toys wins. Did you ever hear that? And I'm all for the stuff. I like the stuff. I'd like to have more stuff. But I've noticed that all of a sudden it seems like I don't own it. It owns me. Isn't that true? And so the older you get, the more stuff we'd like to kind of clear out of and kind of get rid of and keep you awake at night. Because you got there's no satisfaction in the stuff. But I'll tell you what. There's a satisfaction in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Facts. This world will put us through the ringer. Fact. It's difficult. There are other parts of this that I need to pick up next Sunday. We have a guest missionary. The following week, we're going to talk about the phrase in Genesis, for thy sake, the struggle that you and I go through. Is because we need it. for us to recognize that there's a God in heaven that loves us and is watching over us and providing for us. But I'm asking you this morning, with that faith that God has given you, you believe in certain things, we all recognize that. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he died and rose again? Do you believe he took your place? And if you will, and you can believe that, it's just whether you will or not. And if you're willing to believe that and take your faith and invest it in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, through the authority of the Word of God, the Bible says that when you leave this world, you will go to be with him for all eternity in heaven. And not only that, while you are here, he will give you the ability to live the most satisfying life that can ever possibly have had, bar none. Heavenly Father.